Hello, my name is Tom, and today I'll be talking to you about Etibase, your end-to-end encrypted backend. So let's start with some background. I'm the creator and maintainer of Etibase and Etisync. Etibase is an SDK for building end-to-end encrypted applications, and Etisync is a set of end-to-end encrypted apps built using Etibase. The problem we set out to solve is that our data is exposed. Just think about it. Your data is sitting there, idly exposed, on a server, accessible to anyone with access to the server, including employees, the companies themselves, whatever tracking software they may run, hackers, you name it. The solution to that is obvious. We just self-host everything. But hosting at home is not always feasible. For example, due to carrier-grade NAT, or maybe you just don't have a computer that you can run all the time. The alternative then would be to host on a virtual private server, but that's still someone else's computer. And either way, both of these require constant security maintenance and backups and the technical know-how, to know how to set up and run and maintain a server, which means it's only accessible to techies. And the cloud is convenient and cheap, so let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, and let's find a way to both retain our privacy and security and retain the benefits of the cloud. And the solution for that is end-to-end encryption. So in end-to-end encryption, the data is only encrypted on the client and remains encrypted all the way. So in this example, Alice encrypts the data in a way that only her and Bob can access the data, and the server remains oblivious. This is how Signal works and Matrix works and every other encrypted application. After talking about the previous topics, I often hear common misconceptions. For example, people come to me and say, you know, my data is private because it's encrypted using 250-bit TLS. Or it's encrypted at rest using AES, so I know it's safe. Or it's encrypted in transit and at rest, so it's essentially end-to-end encryption. The problem with all of these is that they are wrong. The first one just means that your data is encrypted while in transit. So like HTTPS, it's, you know, only encrypted on your device, but then decrypted by the server, which has full access to your data. The second one just means the server encrypts the data before saving it to persistent storage, like a hard disk, but the server has the keys, so full access to the data again. And the last one is definitely not end-to-end encryption because it's just a combination of the above two. And like them, the server has full access to your data. Okay, so I think we're sold on encryption. But the problem is that encryption is hard. First of all, it's easy to get wrong, which is partially solved by Libsodium, but not fully solved. I mean, how do you implement sharing and how do you implement access control? Or how do you implement password changes? How do you ensure the integrity of the data when the server cannot access it or handle conflict resolution? And also, what about performance? Like, all of these require specific expertise that you may not have. Luckily, the solution for that is Etibase. It's a reusable encryption layer that abstracts all of the encryption away. If you look at the code example here, you can log in, you can create a collection, you can upload it later on, but there's no mention of keys or cryptography or encryption or any of that because Etibase handles all of it transparently for you. We already support a lot of programming languages. We have JavaScript library, TypeScript, Rust, Java, Kotlin, essentially anything on the JVM, Python. We have a C library, so you can use it from C, C++, all of those set of languages, C# library, and there's a community maintained Go library that's not fully there yet, but it's making good progress. And everything is free and open source software, so you can just, you know, write your own or talk to us. Maybe we can help you get support for your favorite language. Okay, let's cover some of the key features and capabilities. So we talked about the variety of programming languages. You don't need any cryptography knowledge. You get a full history of all of your data, which is optional, but you can always roll back to an older version. You get automatic deduplication. So for example, if you have a 100 MB video and you only change the metadata in the beginning, only that small chunk will be re-uploaded. The rest will not. So it's very efficient for storage. It essentially uses the same algorithm such as rsync. It's easy to collaborate by sharing collections and then, you know, editing them for multiple devices and different users, and really much, much more. It's already used in projects such as GNOME and KDE in the personal information backend, so Evolution Data Server and Akonadi, in the popular task.org Android application, in Etisync, and etc. So how does it work? Let's cover some of the key components. In Etabase, you have an account, which is essentially a user on the Etabase server. Each account is associated or owns a few collections, which are a collection of items, which we'll cover in a second, but it could be, like for example, represent a file system, or it could represent a calendar or an address book. Then the item is what holds the actual data, which could be a file or a calendar event or a note. You have the revisions, which are just like old versions of items, the version history you talked before. And then you have S tokens, which are just opaque tokens representing a point in time in the data. We're going to cover a bit more. We're going to talk a bit more about them in a moment. Okay, let's talk about how data is structured in Etabase. So you have the account, as we said, you have as many collections as you want below it and many items below every collection. And every node in this graph uses a different encryption key. So you can easily share only just a part of the graph without, you know, having to share the encryption key for the rest, or just rekey only part of the graph. So essentially in an hierarchy of the data. When it comes to the account, which is the main entry point for the Etabase user, you can use it to, you know, log in, sign up, log out, change password, all of those. And what's nice as well is that you only have one password, the encryption password. The way authentication works to the server is that Alice asks the server for a challenge. The server returns a challenge. Alice does some cryptographic stuff on her device, signs the challenge, and the server verifies that and then authenticates Alice. And that's it. No secret material, no passwords, no anything ever leaves the device. Another key part in Etabase is collections. Collections are essentially a collection of items. They all have a unique identifier. They have associated metadata, like the name of the collection, which could be, you know, my notes, and the description, which would be my secret company notes, or something like that. There's also an immutable collection type, which kind of describes what's stored inside of it. So in Etasync, for example, we have address books and calendars. So you can have an address book type and a calendar type. And it's used to efficiently filter collections by their usage, but still maintaining the usage secret. You can also set the content of a collection. That's not really used that often. Mostly people just set the content of items, but let's talk about items and then we'll cover that. So almost all of the data in Etabase is stored in items, as we said. They have a unique identifier, like everything else in Etabase. They also have a name. So a name for an item could be, my grocery list. A description would be shopping list for Saturday's barbecue. The content could be, you know, the markdown content of like how the list actually looks like. And we have the optional revision history, which is what we said, older version of the data. We also have S tokens, which we'll cover a bit more in a bit, but they essentially represent a point in time of the data. We said we're going to talk about them and now we're talking about them. They're used for efficient syncing. So you can tell Etabase to only return changes that happened after the S token was returned, or they can also be used for integrity checks. So you can tell Etabase to, you know, you can upload items to Etabase and tell Etabase to fail if the items have changed or the data has changed, send the S token was returned. As we said, we also support sharing. So actually collections are owned by one user, but can be accessed by multiple accounts, which can also have their own separate collections. And that's it for how the data works. So let's talk about how structuring your applications. The simplest and most common way is just a full state sync. So you have a local state of all of your data, which you sync across all of your devices. Again, similar to Git, you always fetch the whole data. You use sync tokens to only fetch changes. So it's done efficiently. You don't have to fetch the whole time every time you sync. And the second one is an hierarchical item structure. Because sometimes you don't want to sync all of the data. Sometimes you have a file system with 1 terabyte worth of files. And you want to just go in the hierarchy and just, like, you know, get list that directory, get those files or whatever. And you do that by fetching items by their unique identifiers. Okay, I think that's it for the description. Let's talk about actually building a note-taking application. Though it's a lightning talk, so we're only going to talk about the Etabase parts, but it doesn't really matter because the UI, you know, the UI is different anytime. So like that's the interesting part. So first of all, We're going to talk about structuring the data. So you can use the node specification from the docs. We have like a lot of specifications on how people commonly structure data. We're going to use the collection as a notebook, as a collection of notes. It can be shared with other users, for example, so you can collaborate on that notebook. The collection type would be Etabase MD note, but it could be really whatever you want. The name would be the name of the notebook, so my notes, for example. Items would just be notes in Markdown with type now. And the name would be the title of the notes. So again, my grocery list. Okay, so now we can talk about sign up and login. Sign up and login is very easy. You just put in your username, your email, your password, your server URL. Etabase does all of the encryption stuff in the background, signs up, and then you get an account instance you can work with. Same with login, you just put in username, password, server URL, and Etabase takes care of the rest. The next step would be to create a notebook. So the first thing we do is get a collection manager, which is kind of like how we manage collections. Again, we want that because of the hierarchical encryption. And then we can create a collection using the collection type, using the title, using the modification time. We don't want to set the content because we're going to set the content in the items. And then just that it, we upload it to the server. Creating the notes, a note is very similar. You just get the item manager from the collection, again, because of the hierarchy. And you create the item using, you know, its name, shopping list, modification time, which is just now. The content will come from the UI, but it's essentially just a markdown list of, you know, tasks. And then we just upload the items. We can upload one item at a time, like we do here. Or we can upload multiple items at once. It's really just, you know, up to what we're trying to do. Okay, now we uploaded all of the data. We want to fetch it back. So when we fetch notebooks, we first of all want to get the sync token we last used. It could be null if it's our first fetch. And then we iteratively fetch every time using the S token, the collection type, and the limit. And we only get like, we get the list of collections in chunks of 30 items. Process the changes, and then, you know, iterate until we're done, and then set back, you know, persist the sync token for our next fetch. Fetching notes is very similar. The only difference is that this time, well, two differences actually, we don't pass the collection type because we work on a specific collection. And also we want to save the S token per collection because different collections may have, you know, their data change at different times. So we want to fetch based on when we last fetched this specific collection. And really that's it. Now you can get the data. Another common thing or common use case is real-time changes of the data. So for example, if you're building a note-taking application or a file browser, you may want to get like automatic updates from the server whenever the data changes. And all you have to do is subscribe to changes and then you get the item, you get a notification and the items every time the data changes on the server, which is the data return is very similar to how it's returned from the item list. And so you can just, again, store the S token and process it using the same functions. Another common use case is caching the data locally. So first of all, for performance, you may want to save the collection and save the items in local storage encrypted. You may also want to work offline and then only upload the data once you're back online. So again, useful for that. And yeah, it's just like one call and then you get a blob and you can save it. That's it. And really, that's all there is to it. I mean, the only thing left is to log out once, you know, the user logs out to revoke the access token. And that's it. So a few closing words. If you're a developer looking to secure user data, come and chat with us. If you're using apps that would benefit from Etabase, let us and the app developers know. We would love to chat. And really, that's it. If you have any more questions, you can go to you know, the docs. We have a lot of docs. We have the source code. We have the Etabase website. We also have a live chat on IRC, Matrix, and the web. And you can also look at Etasync for like example uses. And that's it. Do you have any questions? Let me know. Okay, I think we're live with the Q&A.
We can go ahead, I think. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the talk Etobase, your end-to-end encrypted backend, presented by Tom Hacohen, the creator of Etobase. We go ahead with the first question asked by Red Fender. So the password encrypts the private key of a pair, but the application developer doesn't need to know that.
I'll answer. That's correct. I mean, the idea, we use the user password and to derive an encryption key using Argo and 2ID. The idea is to hide all of this complexity away from developers and just do best practices in the background.
Next question by Conrad. He asks, Alice gets the auth token generated at the Eto server. What's the role of this auth token, and is it a secret?
Yeah, so the auth token is not secret in the sense that you can't get access to any of the encrypted data, but it is secret in the sense that it gives you access to the data on the server, the encrypted data. So it's kind of like an auth token in any other application. It's just used to quickly identify against the server in order to run operations and fetch data.
Next question by Ludovic Dubost. He's asking, is it handling simultaneous modification?
I assume the question here is about conflict resolution. We don't do automatic conflict resolution at the moment because it's very... I mean, it varies between different applications. We have been thinking about adding some built-in CRDTs or maybe operational transform support. So just to make this use case very easy, but it's just not there yet.
The next question by Singh Lee is asking, how does Etobase deal with the necessity to index and or sort the items in a large collection during actual user access? Must the entire collection be decrypted first? Thanks.
Yeah, so the way we look at it at the moment is almost like an offline first sync protocol. So you have like different instances of the app and you kind of like help the sync the data across, obviously back to the cloud. So I guess the same question, like this question could be answered the same way that a doc, like an LibreOffice doc file is handled. Like, yes, you need to do it locally. But we want to have support to have the index in like a small part of the collection. So you can just fetch the index and update the index and then get like very efficient searching like this.